This is Geek News Central. My name is Kirk Corliss, filling in for Todd Cochran. Coming up, 8 U.S. states will accept driver licenses or state IDs stored on an iPhone. Apple will start asking for permission to enable ads, and the FTC bans a spyware maker. Those stories and more is coming up. I want to welcome you to episode 1551 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, September 2nd, 2021. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to welcome all the longtime listeners of the podcast. Also, big welcome to the new listeners to the podcast. If you are a new listener to this podcast, we'd like you to head on over to geeknewscentral.com to head on over to subscribe to the podcast. We can find on the right-hand side of the website, be it Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, or your favorite podcast app. Further down on the website, on the right-hand side, is the newsletter where you can subscribe to. The newsletter contains the show notes from this episode that will be covered on this podcast. If you have any comments or want to say hi, my email address is pa@geeknewscentral.com. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at Kirk Corliss, which is spelled K-I-R-K-C-O-R-L-E-S-S. Also, be sure to join us at geeknews.chat, and also be sure to like and follow on the Geek News Central Facebook page. Partner shows include GNC Week in Review, hosted by myself and Scott Ertz, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site by the GNC team, and the New Media Show with Todd and Rob Greenley. This show would not be possible without our good friends which is GoDaddy, who is the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. Over on GoDaddy, and get all of your products and services over on geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So there's great deals to be had where you have 30% off on new product purchases, $4.99.com for new or transfer for new customers, $1 a month economy hosting first year with a free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting first year with a free domain, or free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans for 1 month. So if you want to get a blog set up or a podcast or an e-commerce site, GoDaddy is the place to go to. Your support helps keep the podcast online and also the independent writing team employed. You're supporting a small team of independent content creators by using one of our promo codes that will support us in that effort. So thank you so much for your support. So please be sure to share the codes with your friends, family, people that you know. Great deals can be found, and Geek News Central listeners have saved an average of 94% per purchase of GoDaddy hosting accounts, and an average of $3.50 on each GoDaddy domain name. So these are great deals to be had. And GoDaddy's been a sponsor for 14 years plus. That's an awesome achievement. We are so happy and pleased, and Todd is tickled pink for their support for this long. So we definitely do appreciate it. And thank you so much to GoDaddy for your continuous support and sponsoring for this podcast. Well, as I mentioned, Todd is away on travel. He's over at DragonCon this week, or end of this week, excuse me. It's in Atlanta, Georgia. So he's there. I never known about DragonCon, never heard of DragonCon. And on their website, it says they're the largest multimedia popular culture convention focusing on science fiction and fantasy, gaming, comics, literature, art, music, and film in the universe. So I imagine it's there's a lively event, and I'm glad to know that once everything settles down after this craziness happened over the past year plus or 18 months plus, that conventions like this are open and welcoming people and attendees. Movie theaters are opening, restaurants are opening, Imagine, well, me, for me personally, my family, we went out to dinner a while back, and for the first time in a long time, be able to have a nice dinner in a restaurant without masks and no long lines. So I'm very happy. And I'm also, I have a full-time job during the day, so I'm back in my office. So after being working from home for 18 months, so I'm happy to be back in normal settings, so to speak, I guess you would say. So Todd will be back 1 week from today. Monday is in the United States is Labor Day. So he'll be back on Thursday, September 9th at live.geeknewscentral.com. So be sure to tune in for the next episode. Hopefully I'll be back on as a guest host in the near future. Love being guest host for the podcast. I'm having a tremendous amount of fun being guest host for the podcast and as his executive producer. So with that, let's jump in with the tech news for this Thursday. A little bit of Apple news, so we're going to jump right in. 8 U.S. states. Get back out of here. Don't want that. Okay. 8 U.S. states will accept driver's licenses and other state IDs stored on iPhone. It's an announcement from Apple. This feature was first announced at a presentation in June. Let's iPhone users store IDs in the wallet app. Now, there are some concerns about the privacy concerns about handing over smartphones to police or security officials. Apple now says users do not need to unlock or hand over their phones for the system to work for airport security, but it remains unclear if and how it might be eventually work for other user IDs, such as drivers stopped by police. Arizona and Georgia will introduce the system first, with Connecticut, Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, Oklahoma, and Utah also signed up. The, quote, first locations to use the system will be airport security checkpoints run by the TSA or the Transportation Security Administration. This is coming from Apple. Americans usually need some form of a state ID only to travel by air domestically, unlike other countries in which a passport is widely used. Tapping a phone at an identity reader at supported airports will prompt passengers to use their face ID or fingerprint to authorize sending information to the machine. Apple says, quote, users do not need to unlock, show, or hand over the device to present their ID. TSA Administrator David Pekoski, and I'm mispronouncing his name, I apologize, said the new system will, quote, will enable a more seamless airport security screening experience. So for many, Apple for a little while now, and Todd has mentioned this about the and reports about Apple with their scanning photos through iCloud and a lot of privacy issues, and that has arisen. For quite some time now. It's going to be interesting to see. Some people may think it's great, you know, to store all their IDs and credit cards and all that on their iPhone. However, with driver's license and IDs, not so much the concern to have the information stored. And let's say, who knows, that Apple would probably, you know, in my opinion, or my thinking would be, you know, who's to say that Apple is going to, you know, scan their driver's licenses and store them and use them for other reasons. So, you know, we'll see what happens about that. I'm kind of curious what you all think, the listeners out there, about would you have your driver's license or state ID, scan it and store it on your iPhone? So I'd love to hear from you. So my email address is pa@geeknewscentral.com or on Twitter at Kirk Corliss. Other Apple news, Apple will start asking for permission to enable personalized ads in iOS 15. This is the company's method of serving relevant ads in the App Store and Apple News by analyzing what you read, purchase, and search for on your device. This is from 9to5Mac. The company used to collect that information by default, but now it plans to ask for permission. Apple required other developers to seek users' permission with the debut of App Tracking Transparency, so it seems that might be holding itself to a similar standard. The personalized ads pop-up should show up when you open the App Store if you're running the most recent iOS 15 beta. In the pop-up, Apple writes that Apple writes that the ads will help you discover relevant apps, products, and services while protecting your privacy by using, quote, device-generated identifiers and not linking advertising information to your Apple ID. According to Apple's advertising policy, the sources draws from the target ads vary, but they can include your device information, including location, if you grant permission, app store searches and purchases, and news stories you read in Apple News. The company links its policy and also lets you turn off personalized ads entirely in the Settings app. So there's a good side to this with not getting ads coming up on your iPhone. Speaking of privacy, the Federal Trade Commission has banned spyware maker SpyPhone and its CEO Scott Zuckerman from operating in the surveillance industry. The company has also been ordered to delete the data it allegedly illegally obtained and to inform targets of the stalkerware apps that the software had been covertly installed on their Android devices. The FTC claims SpyPhone, quote, secretly harvest and share data on people's physical movements, phone use, and online activities through a hidden device hack. It says SpyPhone sold real-time access to that information, which could have enabled domestic abusers and stalkers to track their targets. Some of those who bought spyware were allegedly able to see live locations of devices and view target emails, photos, web browsing history, and text messages and video calls. The agency says SpyPhone gave its customers instructions on how to install the app secretly and ensure the device user was unaware their activity was being monitored. The spyware had to gain root access for two devices for some functions, which the FTC says, quote, could expose the device to security risks. Also, what's more, SpyPhone allegedly didn't secure the data it harvested. The FTC contends that the company didn't have basic security measures in place. I apologize. That was a loud truck outside my window. The FTC contends that the company didn't have basic security measures in place. The stalkerware app's security deficiencies, including not encrypting personal information it stored, including phone and text messages, failing to ensure that only authorized users could access personal information and transmitting purchases, passwords in plain text. This is also from an agency that's reporting that's saying this, that enabled a hack to obtain personal data of around 2,200 people in 2018. This is also coming from the FTC. Commissioners voted unanimously to ban SpyPhone and Zuckerman from the surveillance industry. Specifically, the company and its CEO are prohibited from, quote, offering, promoting, selling, or advertising any surveillance app, service, or business. Commissioner Robert Chopra said in a statement that the FTC action doesn't absolve SpyPhone and Zuckerman from any criminal liability. Quote, while this action was worthwhile, I am concerned that the FTC will be unable to meaningfully crack down on the underworld of stalking apps using our civil enforcement authorities. Chopper wrote, quote, I hope that federal and state enforcers examine the applicability of criminal laws, including the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, the Wiretap Act, and other criminal laws to combat legal surveillance, including the use of stalkerware. So good on FTC. Sometimes the government, the U.S. government helps in ways, hurts in some ways. So this is good. This is good news all around. Other news this Thursday: YouTube Music, which was launched in 2018 to replace Google Play Music, now has more than 50 million paid subscribers. The 50 million figure also includes YouTube Premium subscribers and, quote, customers still on a trial basis. Fortunately, YouTube hasn't revealed how much money it's making from paid subscriptions. Surprise, surprise. Data from Media Research suggests YouTube Music was the fastest growing music service globally in the first quarter of 2021. I have YouTube Music. I'm on a trial. Has a great selection, but I lean towards more, which I have a paid subscription, is to Apple Music, which has a very healthy catalog. Twitter is reportedly working on a new set of privacy features that will allow users to better manage that to better manage their online presence on the social media site. The new, quote, social privacy features are meant to make people more comfortable engaging on Twitter. From Bloomberg, Twitter is currently considering several features that users may find very helpful when navigating the site. One item includes hiding old tweets from other users after a set amount of time. This can be anywhere from 30, 60, or 90 days, and tweets will be archived away from users, but still visible to the account holders. So there's a running theme with privacy on this episode. I was going to try to tie everything together, but I figure we mix it up a little bit. Over on AndroidCentral.com, and we'll have a link up in the show notes. The best places to buy unlocked phones this year. So there's Amazon, there's B&H Photo, there's Best Buy, there's Newegg, Swappa, Walmart. So definitely check out the list and the information. I personally go to Best Buy for unlocked phones, and also because I get the points for my purchases. That's my opinion. So we'll definitely check out the link in the show notes on that. Also in the show notes over on lifehacker.com, 12 ways to speed up your slow iPhone. So first it'll say to quickly clear the RAM and memory, clear cache in Safari and other browsers. Reboot your iPhone. Try closing apps you aren't using. Clear storage and unnecessary apps. Turn off background app refresh. Clear messages and so on. So there's a healthy list that's in the link in the show notes that you can speed up your slow iPhone. Also, other news, this is from Android Central, who recently received a tip from a reader that many Android users have been experiencing issues with Google's Stock Clock app over the past week. The tipster pointed them to a Reddit thread, r/GooglePixel thread, where the issue was being discussed, and also mentioned the spate of one-star reviews that the app has been receiving lately on the Google Play Store. Angry app users have been complaining that alarms in the clock app are not going off as expected, and they're not receiving alarm notifications either. There also have been complaints that alarms are no longer working with Spotify playlists, and some users have even speculated that the Spotify integration might be the cause of the issue. It appears that the bug has only been recently cropped up over the past week or so, as all the negative reviews on Google Play and comments on Reddit are from this time period. Android Central is also noting that the clock app still has a 4.0 rating on Google Play, despite these unhappy customers. I have the clock app. I have any problems with the alarm, so knock on wood. Another problem plaguing Android users, and this is from a recently relatively widespread issue where there's an overheating issue while shooting in 4K. Pixel 3 and Pixel 3 XL phones have everywhere rendering themselves useless in perpetual emergency download or EDL mode. This is coming from a number of posts on Google support forums and also on Reddit. Reddit's been popular lately with problems with Google phones. Now, apparently, Pixel users have been reporting an issue for the last several months. The last few weeks have been seeing quite an uptick in online complaints. EDL mode is just a feature that's built into the Qualcomm chips that's used in every Google Pixel except the new Pixel 6. Traditionally allows users to unbrick a phone by force flashing the device's firmware. This is often most necessary if a user incorrectly makes system level modifications or flashes improper software, in which case the phone, quote, soft bricks or shows signs of life is unable to reboot. But EDL mode is meant to be intentionally accessed, also almost like an escape hatch. While the users are posting about the issue or often waking up to their phones stuck there seemingly by chance. There's also reports that users are confirming their devices are in EDL mode by plugging themselves in their computer, where the devices display as QUSB_bulk_CID, followed by their corresponding serial numbers. Many of these devices can be charged, but the screens remain unresponsive. One user has posted, quote, my Pixel 3 hard brick while sitting in my hand, why is it sitting in your hand? 2 days ago, or excuse me, this is from a post from the Google Pixel phone help forum. I took it to a local tech. Later that day, he told me he got two other Pixel 3 S's with the exact same issue. He said he rarely gets Pixels, hadn't seen them in months. Now he has three all at once. Google has yet to provide advice or resolution for the issue. And being it's old, the Pixel 3s are now out of warranty. A thread is existing in the Google issue tracker where issues have been relaying their own experiences since June. OMG. So time for you folks if you have a Pixel 3, Pixel 3 XL phones, definitely get an upgrade. I recommend getting the Pixel 6 because I'm waiting for one right now and I cannot wait to get it. Other news. Again, this is a Reddit palooza. Reddit yesterday banned r/no new normal, a hub of anti-mask and anti-vaccine posts after protests against the platform's refusal to take more aggressive action against COVID misinformation. In a post titled, quote, COVID denialism and policy clarifications, Reddit said also quarantine, quote, 54 additional COVID denial subreddits. While no new normal was taken off Reddit entirely, quarantining a subreddit imposes restrictions that, quote, prevent its content from being accidentally viewed by those who do not wish to do so. No new normal was banned, not for spreading misinformation, but breaking Reddit's rule against, quote, brigading. This means that refers to members of one subreddit conducting, quote, targeted interference in other subreddits. Reddit has said, quote, while one place where people can explore unpopular views, it is never acceptable to interfere with other communities. Claims of regaining are common and often hard to quantify. However, in this case, we found very clear signals, including indicating that r/no new normal was a source of around 80 brigades in the last 30 days, largely directed at communities with more mainstream views on COVID or location-based communities that had been discussing COVID restrictions. This behavior continued even after a warning was issued from our teams and the mods. r/no new normal is the only subreddit in our list of high signal subs where we identified its behavior, and it is one of the largest sources of community interference we surface as part of this work. We will be investigating a few other unrelated subreddits as well. Although not mentioned in Reddit's announcement, a subreddit called Coronavirus Conspiracy was also banned yesterday due to being unmoderated. That community was already quarantined last year because it, quote, may contain misinformation or hoax content. Reddit said the 54 newly quarantined COVID denial subreddits were penalized for breaking Rule 1, quote, which bans harassment, bullying, and incitement of violence or promoting hate, quote, based on identity or vulnerability. Reddit's post did not include a list of the 54 communities, and a spokesperson declined to say which subreddits were quarantined. Quarantined subreddits are still accessible after users see a warning and opt in, and Reddit probably prefers to avoid naming them because that can give them more traffic, reporting from Ars Technica. Reddit also has said is building, quote, a new reporting feature for moderators to allow them to better provide us a signal when they see community interference. It'll take us a few days to get this built, and we'll subsequently evaluate the usefulness of this feature. So when it comes to information about coronavirus vaccines, there's a lot of information out there about COVID-19, about vaccines. you know, the good, bad, and the ugly. Do your research. Don't go on websites or Reddit. Just do your research, because you're it's making things blow things sometimes way out of control, I think. But please do your research. Find information. Talk to your doctor about it. Get all the facts and weigh out different things before going on Reddit and making things a lot worse than it already is. The U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has ordered Tesla to hand over a detailed autopilot data by October 22nd, or else face fines of up to $115 million. This is according from the New York Times. Back in August, NHTSA announced that its investigation incidents wherein Tesla vehicles with autopilot activated crashed into parked first responder vehicles with flashing lights. The agency originally cited 11 such crashes, which resulted in 17 injuries and one death since 2018, but a 12th incident occurred just this Saturday. In a letter it sent to the automaker, the NHTSA told Tesla to produce detailed information on how the driver assistance system works. It wants to know how it ensures that human drivers will keep their eyes on the road while autopilot is engaged, and whether there are limits on where it can be used. Feds have long criticized Tesla for not having the safeguards to make sure human drivers are keeping their hands on the wheel. A few months ago, the company finally activated the camera mounted above the rearview mirror in Model 3 and Model Y vehicles to, quote, detect and alert driver inattentiveness while autopilot is engaged. In addition, autopilot is only meant for use on highways, but there's nothing keeping drivers from using it on local roads. In addition to detailed autopilot data, the NHTSA is also asking for information on how many cars Tesla sold in the U.S. It wants to know every autopilot-related arbitration proceeding or lawsuit the company has involved in, along with all the complaints Tesla has received about the driver assistance technology from customers. So Tesla's been in the news for many, many months over the past year or so. Todd has talked about it, and it's been reported on the podcast for several times. So Tesla definitely has to answer to what's going on. And finally, this is a little bit of light news this week, I know, and I apologize. I thought, you know, this is going to be a better week for news, but it's been a little light night. And so hopefully, usually September, first week of September, news is a little light. So a little more news or tech news and world flow announcements with I talked about in the last episode. So I apologize again for the light news. But we're going to wrap up this episode over on Engadget.com. They have the best ultra portable laptops you can buy. Their picks, so the best overall, the Dell XPS 13, which I have and I love, best for Apple fans, the MacBook Air M1, the best convertible, the HP Spectre X360 13, and the best budget option, is the HP Pavilion Aero 13. So I will have a link up in the show notes that you can check out over on this podcast under the best laptop. Excuse me. Okay. All right. And that wraps up the tech news for Thursday, September 3rd, 2021. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode. Comments on today's episode, I would love to hear them. I am at PA@geeknewscentral.com or on Twitter again at Kirk Corliss, KirkCorless. Please be sure to support this podcast either at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Another great way to support the podcast is by on geeknewscentral.com/insider. And you can donate from $2 a month all the way to $60 a month. Todd is definitely going to have a podcast called Insider, which will be private for you guys, for GNC insiders. You'll get updates on what's going on and behind the scenes from him. It's going to be audio only. So definitely he has been saying, and I believe he will definitely have a podcast episode an episode out soon. Well, I hope, you know, so hold tight. He will have that pop cut. They will have the episode. Just please, 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 please be patient. He thanks you very, very much, as always, for your support. Helps pay the bills, keep the lights on, helps the team, myself as executive producer. So I really do appreciate your support as allowing me to be guest host for these two episodes. Yeah, he will be back on, again, this upcoming Monday. Again, in the United States, it's Labor Day, which is Monday, September 6th. He'll be back live next Thursday evening, Thursday, September 9th. We definitely do appreciate that. I hope to be back. Blah, blah, blah. Still tongue-tied. it's been a long day. So I appreciate that. All right, I hope to be back as guest host in the future. It's great to be in a chair for these two episodes. I have a lot of fun being on guest host, bringing you the tech news of the day. Don't forget my podcast, GNC Week in Review. It is on it's Friday evenings, gncweekly.com/live, Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, with myself and Scott Ertz. Our podcast is a weekly wrap-up of the tech news of the week. We dissect what's being reported on. We have a great conversation. And okay, that was a loud car that drove by my window. Okay, loud people, loud things going on. Yeah, definitely check out the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast, be it on your favorite podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast app, favorite podcast app, also on YouTube as well. Definitely be sure to like, share, and subscribe to my podcast. Until I hear from you all soon and talk to you all soon, and until next time, so long.